The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Kisovei. The Torah tells us in Chamishi, Kof Zayin Posuk Yud Aleph, Veitzav Meshech So'om Bayeim Ahu Leimor. And Meshech commanded the nation on that day, saying,
Eile Yamdu Levorech So'om Al HaGrizim, Bovrechem Es HaYadein. The dish shall stand to be Mevorech, to bless the nation, on HaGrizim, when you cross the Yarden. Now this is speaking, we're coming near the end of the Sefer Torah. It's the end of the 40 years in the desert. And they were coming to the Yarden, to the Jordan River, where they were going to cross over and go into Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yeshua. So Moshe said that when you cross the Yarden, then there will be two mountains there, Har Gerizim and Har Eivol. So these shall stand to bless the nation on Har Gerizim, Shimon ve-Levi ve-Yehuda ve-Yisachar ve-Yosef ve-Binyamin, six tribes. Ve-Elu yamdu al ha-klola b'Har Eivol. And the other six tribes of Klal Yisrael shall stand on Har Eivol, the other mountain, Ruven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Vanu halvim v'omru, and the Levim shall answer and say, El kol ish Yisrael kol ram, in the presence of every Jew, with a loud voice. And then are listed 11 curses, and then a 12th one afterwards. Or orish asher yaseh esel masecha to'avas Hashem masi de chorosh, v'som basoser vonu kolom v'omru amen. But cursed is the one who will make an idol, which is an abomination to Hashem, and the entire nation shall answer amen. Or makle ovi v'imay, cursed is the one who shall curse or make light his father and mother, and everyone shall answer amen. Cursed is the one who will move the boundary lines of his neighbor, and everyone will answer amen. Cursed is the one who will mislead someone who is not in a position to see for himself. Cursed is the one who will misdirect the judgment, who will distort the judgment of the ger yosem v'almono, of the convert, or of the orphan, or of the widow. Cursed is the one, Sheikhi Vimeshis Ovi, who will lay with the wife of his father. Cursed is the one who will have a sexual union with an animal. Cursed is the one who will have a union with his sister. Cursed is the one who will have a union with his mother-in-law. And cursed is the one who will strike his friend Basoser secretly. This refers to Loshon Hara, who will slander secretly his friend. Cursed is the one Lekeach Sheichad Lahakoyz Nefesh Damnoki. And cursed is the one who will take pay, who will be hired to slay another man. Then, Oro Asher Yokim Es Divrei HaTorah Zois La'Asos Eisom. Cursed is the one who will not uphold this entire Torah to do this, to fulfill it, and everyone shall answer Amen. So this is what was known as the Brochais and the Klolis of Har Gerizim v'Har Eivol. In Masechta Seita, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis gives us a little more interpretation as to just what this was. The Mishnah states, Brachos v'klolos ketzad. The blessings and the curses, how did it take place? Kiven she'ovru Yisrael es ha'yarden ubo el ha'grizim ve'el har Eivol she'bishemrein. Once Klal Yisrael crossed the Jordan River, this was after the death of Moshe, under the leadership of Yeshua, and They came to HaGrizim and HaRevel, which is in the Shomron, Shebetzad Shechem, Shebeetzel Eloinei Meire, which is near Shechem, which is Eloinei Meire. Shenema Haleheima Bever Ayadin, Lahalanuhim Ervayavar Avram Beeretz Ad Mokim Shechem Ad Eloin Meire. Ma Eloin Meire Omer Lahalan Shechem Af Eloin Meire Mekan Shechem. And then the Mishnah proves the point as to how do we know this was the particular place. This is where Har Evel and Har Grizim and Har Evel were. Shisha Shvotim Olad Reish Har Grizim, Shisha Shvotim Olad Reish Har Evel. Six nations of the particular six tribes which are mentioned went to the mountain of Grizim, and then the other six tribes went up to Har Evel. And in the valley between the two mountains, these were two mountains that had a valley in between. In the valley between, the Kahanim went, and the Levim, and the Oren. The Oren is where the Luches HaBris, the tablets were kept, and the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote. They were down in the valley. Be'emtza HaKahanim Akifin Es Oren, V'Alavim Es HaKahanim. In the center was the Oren, around the Oren were the Kahanim, and around the Kahanim were the Levim. We call Yisrael Mikan and Mikan, and all of Israel were either on one mountain or the other. Shnemar, as it states, we call Yisrael Zekenev Ushaitre Vesheftav Aimni Mizel Mizel Oren. Hofchu Penehem Klape HaGrizim Uposchu Barbocha. The Levim first turned towards HaGrizim, and they started with the Brocha. That even though the Torah mentions only the Klola, they started with the Brocha. And they went through each of the 11 which we mentioned. And first they would say, Boruch HaIsh, Asher Lo Yaseh Fesol Maaseicho. Blessed is the one who will not make an idol. Ve'elu ve'elu onin omen. And then everyone would answer omen from both mountains. Hofchu Penehem Klape Har Hevel. Then they turned around towards Har Hevel. Uposchu Beklolo. And they said over the same words, except instead of Boruch, blessed is the one who will not do such a thing, they said, cursed is the one who will do such a thing. Or Oisha Sheyasa Pesol Maseha, cursed is the one who will make a idol or a molten image. Ve'elo ve'elo einin omen. And each one answered omen. Until they finished all of the brachas and all of the klolis, all of the 11 ones mentioned here in the final one. So they would take one at a time. First they would turn towards HaGrizim, the Kahanim and the Levim and the Oren. They were surrounding the Oren HaKodesh in the valley, and they would turn towards the HaGrizim, where six tribes, half of Klal Yisrael were, and they would say Boruch and mention the bracha in the Torah, the one who will fulfill this. And then they would turn towards the other mountain, Har Evel, where the other six tribes were, and they would mention that same statement, except order, cursed the one who will not keep it. Then they brought great stones, ubonu es hamizbeach, and they built an altar in the valley, v'sadu b'sid. And then they covered the stones with a cement, because for love es kol divrei Torah. And on the cement, they wrote the entire Sefer Torah, B'shivim Loshen, in 70 languages, in all of the 70 languages. Shneimar Ba'arei Heitev, as it states in the Torah, that you shall write, Moshe was commanded them, they shall write this Ba'arei Heitev with a complete explanation, which means in all of the 70 basic languages of the world. V'not les avonim, and after they used the altar for the particular sacrifices that were required for that particular time, the Notolos Avonim, then they disassembled the altar and they took the stones. Ubov Alonabim came in and they brought the stones to where they were going to keep them. The Gilgal. This is the process that took place. Now, what was the purpose of all of this? We have a whole Sefer Torah with 613 mitzvahs. Why do we single out here 11? And these 11, we have a whole ceremony where Klal Yisrael went up on two mountains, and with the Kohanim and Levim and the Ordin in the middle. And then there was a Baruch and a Klolot. What was the purpose of all of this? The rabbis explain, and this is based on a posuk, which is in next week's Sedra, in Parshas Nitzavim. And Rashi later goes into some of the explanation. Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe tells over the people in the name of the Almighty that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you must see that you keep the Sefer Torah. And you must see that you keep the Bris, the covenant, which was made between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you must be very careful to see that all of the mitzvahs are kept, and the Torah is kept. Because if not, then you will ignite the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will take revenge, and he will destroy the land and drive you from the land. And it's mentioned, Pen yesh bachem isho isho u'mishboch o'yshevet asher lavo v'peina ayim im Hashem elakeinu. You must be very careful that there should be no one amongst you who does not want to keep the mitzvahs and wants to mislead you. And he will be like a bitter root in your midst, and he will go and lead people astray. And then the Torah tells us, Vayitshem Hashem me'al admoson, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drive you out of the land if you do not uphold the Torah. This is in Posuk Chof Zayin, in Nitzavim, Chof Tes, Posuk Chof Zayin, Perek Chof Tes. Vayashlichem al eres acheres kayem hazeh, he will drive you into other lands. Anistores l'Hashem elekeinu. What is concealed, that belongs to Hashem. But what is revealed, that is for us. Lasis is called Divrei Atera, so is to fulfill this entire Torah. And Histores, which is concealed, that belongs to Hashem. But what is revealed, this belongs to us and to our children forever, to do all of this Torah. What does this mean? So Rashi here explains, and the rabbis tell us, we are responsible not only for our own actions, but also for the actions of all of Israel. A Jew is not only responsible for what he does, he also carries a responsibility for the acts of all of his chaverim, of everyone else. And this is why the Torah said that if there is something wrong in Klal Yisrael, so then it is the responsibility of the people to correct it. Not only to correct their own deeds, but to see that there is law and justice in the entire land. Ubiat, the nation and the Bezdin, are obligated to destroy all distortion and all injustice which is in the land. And this means that they must admonish the people, and they must direct them properly. And if these are people that cannot be directed, then they must be punished in accordance to the dictates of the Torah. Uvi'ato oro mikirbecho, you shall destroy from your midst and the evil. So a Jew is not only responsible for himself, he's responsible for the entire nation. But he can only be responsible for that what he knows of. For something which he does not know, this he cannot assume responsibility. If we see people in our midst who are doing evil acts, then we can carry responsibility. But if it's done in secrecy, then it's impossible. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hanistores l'Hashem elokeinu. What people do secretly, this will be my responsibility to correct. But hanigleis, but what people do openly, lonu ulevanenu ad olam, this will be our responsibility and our children's responsibility forever. Last, this is called Divrei HaTorah Hazois, to assure that the entire Torah will be upheld. What is done secretly, secret desecrations of the Torah, this is Anis Torah LaShem Elokeinu, this will be to Hashem. The Almighty will have to assume responsibility for that, because there's nothing we can do about that. But open desecrations to the Torah, this shall be our responsibility and our children's responsibility forever. This is what this pasuk means. Now, Rashi tells us, the rabbis explain, when did we become officially responsible for the acts of others? That was in the bris, in the covenant, which was made on Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, on the mountain of Gerizim and the mountain of Ebal. At that time, when we went through that covenant, that was after the crossing of the Jordan, it was at that time that the Almighty officially bound us to be responsible not only for our own acts, but for the acts of the entire nation. And that's why Rashi tells us that on this posuk, Ma'anigleis lonu levaneinu, open desecrations we are responsible for. In the Sefer Torah there are nekudas, there are little dots. For what reason? To tell us, Sha'afa nigleis, even the open desecrations, lo anashal esarabim, acho ovru esayade. Mishikibla alehem, esashfu bahagrizim arevel, venasum, nasu arevim zeluze. This we became responsible only after we crossed Jordan, only after we had this covenant which was made on Har Ebal and Har Gerizim. Then we became responsible one for the other, and this was called Nasu Arevim Zelezeh, where one became a guarantor for the other. But before then, also we weren't. Now, at the time when we had this entire undertaking, we both became responsible for the acts of the others, but at the same time we relinquished responsibility for secret desecrations of the others. So therefore 11 curses were set out, each one referring to a secret desecration, in which it relieved the Sibur, the nation, of the responsibility, and place the full responsibility on the shoulders of the individual. That's why 11 desecrations are mentioned there, and then a 12th, which encompasses all others. This is referring to desecrations which no one can find out about. For example, it says, Makes Reu Besoser, that if you secretly slander your fellow man, if someone is secretly slandering, if someone's going around slandering other people, then it's the obligation of the Beis Din to enact justice. And during the time when we had full powers, this would be the absolute obligation of the Beis Din to extract and to enact justice. And if they didn't, then they would suffer the consequences. But if someone is secretly slandering his friend, then there's nothing we can do about it. If there are acts of immorality or incest, this is then the Beis Din would have to do something about it. But if there were such acts of immorality that no one would know about, and those are the types that are mentioned there, then this is something that we have to be absolved of our responsibility, because there's nothing we can do about it. If someone hires another person to kill the killer, we can extract justice from him. But we might not know who hired him. So then this is something that we become absolved from our responsibility. So this is what the Torah tells us, that this whole bris, this whole covenant of Har Gerizim v'Har Ebal, this was to bind Klal Yisrael together in a joint responsibility to keep the entire Torah. And this is what is known as Nasu Arevim Zelezeh, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelezeh, that Israel is a guarantor one for the other. But this was only on that what was an open desecration, not a secret desecration, a hidden desecration. So therefore, in order to absolve us from that particular responsibility, so 11 curses and 11 brochas were given in regards to those hidden desecrations, and the responsibility of this would fall on the shoulders of the individual and be taken off the shoulders of the tzibur of the nation. This is what the significance of this particular parsha. From here we hear this principle, which is a very important principle, called Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, that one Jew carries a responsibility for another Jew. Let's just spend a little time this evening trying to elaborate somewhat on this principle. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis Gemara states Rav v'chanin v'Rabbi Yechonon v'Rav Chavivu masnu b'kule d'seder meid kol ki ha'izuga chalufi Rabbi Yechonon u'mayel Rabbi Yenison kol mi she'efshe limcha yislin she'beisei. Whoever is in a position to object to something that the people of his household, to a wrongdoing that the people of his household are doing, and he does not object to, he's in a position to object and to stop them, and he does not, then he will receive, Rashi says, he will receive the punishment for the Averas which they do. If he's a person who has influence over the entire city, and he can direct the city, and he doesn't, he will receive the punishments which is due to the entire city for these Averas. If he has influence over the entire world, Rashi says, "Kigain Melech Venosi." For example, he's a king, or he's a prince. People fear him, and people listen to him. So he has the opportunity when he can, that he can object to wrongdoings, and he doesn't. Nitfis al kol elam kulei. Then he will receive the punishment which is due to the rest of the world for those averes. Amar Rav Papa Vahani de Reish Galusa Nitfisu al Kuli Alma. So Rav Papa said the Reish Galusa, those that were ahead of the entire Golus, since their word would be listened to, then they would be responsible for whatever is done. Ki Hod Amar Rav Chanina, like Rav Chanina said, May Dixiv Hashem B'Mishpat Yovai Im Ziknei Amai V'Sorov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will extract justice from Ziknei Amai V'Sorov, from the elders, from the chachomim, the wise, and from the sorov, and from the acts of the kings. Im sorim chotu zekeni ma chotu. So the Gemara asks, if the kings transgressed, so what do we have against the zekenim, the elders? Ela eimal zekenim shalemichu besorim. Against the elders that did not object, because they did not object against the kings. The Maral, in his Nesiv HaTechecho, Perek Beis, tells us why is it like this. This is something which is a very, very, a statement which carries a lot of gravity and a lot of ramification, that a Jew is obligated and responsible not only for his own acts, but for other acts also. And he'll even be punished for that which he could have stopped. So why is this? Because there's something unique which we find by Klal Yisrael, which we do not find by other nations. Klal Yisrael is known as Am Echod, a singular nation. Like we say, Mi ke'amcho Yisrael goy echod bo'oretz. Who is like the nation of Israel? One nation in the world. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echod, Klal Yisrael is Echod. It's united. And the sages tell us even further, that Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael Verkuchi Brichu Vereisach Hadhu, that the Torah together with Yisrael, together with HaKodesh Baruch Hu, is one unit. But Yisrael for sure is one unit. Other nations are made up of many people, except geographically they're in one place. They're united under one king, but they're still not one unit. Klal Yisrael is Am Echod, which means they are one unit. And therefore they are like the human body, which is one unit. A person can say that if there is one organ of the human body which is not in order, so it will only affect that organ. Not true. We know if there's something wrong in one part of the human body, it will throw into disorder, it can infect the entire body. This is the same with Klal. To direct the people, and he does not, then he is like an organ which is the head of the person. Just like you have, there's the brain, or you have the heart, which controls everything. If a person is in a position to do something about another person's acts and he doesn't, then he becomes like a chief organ. And in such a case, for example, if the heart can correct something wrong in the body and it doesn't, eventually it'll affect the heart. If the brain can correct a disorder in the body and it doesn't, and it just grows and grows, eventually then it'll affect the brain. So the same thing here. If a person is in a position to direct and to correct and he doesn't, not only will it affect the other person, but eventually it'll come back to him. This is why we find that whoever is in a position to be mecher, to object to something that his household is doing, and he doesn't, nitfis al inshei beisei, then he will also be held responsible. The kilkul, the ruination, will come back to him, and he'll be held responsible for these acts. Now this has to do with a mitzvah which is in the Sefer Torah, which is called the mitzvah of Teichacho, which means that when the Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos Perek Vov, Alocha Hei, Halacha Vov. Kishiyechto ish li'ish, if one man does something wrong to another man, lo yistu menu v'yishtoik, then you shouldn't just hate him and be silent. Someone does something wrong to you and you hate him for it, this should not allow to. The Rambam in the previous halacha tells us, "Kol asein echad miYisrael beliboy eva beleisase," that whoever hates another Jew, then he transgresses a negative commandment. So if someone does something to you, something wrong, and you hate him for it, no, you're not allowed to. K'meish nember b'rishoyim v'leidibah v'sholem es amnein mu'uma l'merah v'atev. Like we find by the rishoyim, by the evil people, that Avisholom and Amnon, one did wrong to the other never spoke to him again. Kisoni Avisholom is Amnon, because he hated him. So then what then? If someone is doing something wrong to you, what should you do to him? El mitzvah lov loidioi. It's a mitzvah for you to tell him, tell this person what he's doing wrong. Why are you doing this to me? See, why do you do this to me? And why do you act this way to me? As it states that you shall rebuke your fellow man. So then, if after you tell him what he's doing wrong. So he says, all right, I realize I'm doing something wrong and I'm sorry for it and I won't do it anymore. Then sorech limcholoi. Then you must forgive him. And the person must not be hard. You must not be hard or ruthless and say, I'm not going to forgive you. Like we find by Avraham, when he went to Avimelech, and the same thing by Paroi, and they wronged him, but once they begged for forgiveness, so Avraham became an advocate for them. Avraham went and prayed for their well-being and that they should be cured. So here we have a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, that you're obligated, if someone does a wrongdoing to you, you must not hate him for it, but you must try to correct it. You must ask him, why is he doing this to you? If he realizes now that he's doing something wrong, then you must forgive him. But the mitzvah is hecheach techiach es amisecho, to rebuke him. That's when someone does wrong to you. It's a mitzvah of rebuke. What about if someone is doing something wrong, but it's not necessarily to you? Hareach haverei shechoto. This is an aloha zayin. If you see your friend, he's been chayte, he's doing something wrong, but not to you. Or shoholach bederech leiteva. Or if he's walking in a path which is not a good path. Mitzvah lachziroi lemutav. It's a mitzvah, it's a commandment that you shall direct him back to the proper way. Uleidia yishu chayte latzpoi b'maisev aroim. And to let him know that he's been, as it states, that you shall rebuke your fellow man. When you rebuke someone, it must be done in the proper way. Whether we're speaking about mitzvahs between one man and a fellow man, or mitzvahs between man and Hashem, you must rebuke him in a private manner. You should speak to him comfortably. You should speak to him softly. And in a soft speech, and let him know that what you're telling him is only for his own good, to bring him into the next world. If he accepts this from you, good. If not, then you should rebuke him a second time. You should rebuke him a third time. Consistently, you should always rebuke him. As long as you think there's the possibility that he will listen to you, then you must constantly rebuke him. See? Until it gets so far where he strikes you and he says, don't bother me anymore, I won't listen. But as long as you think there's a possibility that you will be of a good influence on him, then you must speak to him and you must try to direct him. Now the Rambam brings what we had from the Gemara. Whoever is in a position to direct someone and he does not, or to object against someone's wrongdoing and he does not, who nitvas ba'ovein elu, kiven shefshalei limchais behem, then he will be punished. He will share in the punishment that this other person will receive for his averus, since he was in a position to stop him. So we see that there is a mitzvah that not only a person has to rebuke someone when he does something wrong to him, but he must also rebuke someone and direct someone when he sees he's doing wrong in general, even though it's not relevant to him. Because of the mitzvah, aicheach techiach. Now the reason for this mitzvah is two. Firstly, it's a mitzvah to put someone on the proper path, to help someone. It's a great mitzvah of chesed. That if you could do something physically for a person, that's a mitzvah of chesed. So how much more so if you can do something spiritually for a person? If you do something physically for a person, it only helps him for a short time on this world. If you do something spiritually for a person, you're helping him forever in the world to come. So that's one reason. But there's a greater underlying reason for that. And that's what the Gemara says, because kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. Because a person is not only responsible for his own acts, a Jew, He's responsible for the acts of all of the Jews. Therefore, any other Yisrael that is in a position to direct or to stop from doing a wrongdoing, then he has this obligation. And then it goes one step further. If it would just be a mitzvah of chesed, say, that it's, he's doing a favor to another person by directing him, so if he didn't do it, alright, he didn't do the chesed, he won't share in the punishment. But if the reason is because kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, because everyone is responsible for the other people's acts also, anigleis lonu levonenu, we are responsible for all open desecrations. So now, if he's in a position where he can direct him properly and he doesn't, who nitfas be'eseh oved? Then he shares in the consequences also. He also shares in the consequences. We have another Gemara in Masechta Yevamos. Notice the Gemara said, call me Shiyesh Biyode Limchais. If someone is in a position to rebuke. Not all the time are we in a position to rebuke. The Gemara in Masechta Yevamos and Daf Samach Amud Beis tells us Rebbe Loi said in the name of Reb Shimon, "Kishem shemitzvah l'odim lema dover hanishma." Just like it's a mitzvah for a person to tell someone else something that will direct him properly, which is nishma, that will be listened to. Just like it's a mitzvah to tell someone else something which will be heard, kach mitzvah l'odim shaloi lema dover she'ina nishma. So is it a mitzvah to tell a person, not to tell a person, something which will not be heard. Just as it's a mitzvah to tell a person something which will be heard, so is it a mitzvah not to tell a person something which will not be heard. Rebbe Omar Cheva. Rebbe says, not only it's a mitzvah, not to tell something which will not be heard. It's an obligation. Shnemar, as it states, this is a posuk in Mishle. Posuk in Mishle, perek tes, posuches, al teichach leitz, pen yisno echo. Heichach lechocham, v'yeo avecho. Shlema Melech, King Solomon said, do not rebuke a scoffer, because he will only come to hate you more for it. Rebuke a chochem, rebuke a wise person, v'yeo avecho, and he will love you for it. If a person is a wise person, then rebuke him. But if he's a leitz, if he's a scoffer, then don't rebuke him, because he will only come to hate you for it. So what is the purpose? Therefore, one opinion in the Gemara that it's a mitzvah to not to say something that you know will not be heard. If you know people will not listen, it's a mitzvah not to. The second opinion is it's an obligation not to. You're not allowed to. According to the first opinion, it's a mitzvah not to, but it doesn't mean you're not allowed to say it. According to the second opinion, you're not allowed to say it. The Maral writes the reason, a very good reason, because then you're being mevazeh divrei Torah. To say divrei Torah, where people will not listen, not only is it fruitless, but you're shaming Divrei Torah. You're taking away the kovod, the honor of Divrei Torah, and the honor of those who say it. Divrei Torah is a mitzvah to say where it will be listened to. If there is a slight possibility, even a slight possibility, that it will be absorbed, that people will listen, and then it's a great mitzvah to say it. But if you know for sure people will not listen, you know for sure, then not only is it fruitless? Is it a waste of time to say it? But it's an aveira to say it. Chayvihi. It's an obligation not to say it. Because it's a bizayin to the divrei Torah then. You're disgracing the Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem. And the Torah. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, Al techach leitz. If he's a scoffer, don't tell him divrei Torah. What are you telling him divrei Torah for? So he should scoff at it. See? Better not to say it. Otherwise he'll scoff at it and he'll hate you for it. So better not to say it. Hechach lechocho. Give rebuke to the wise, v'yelv echo, and they will love you for it. Because the wise want direction. See, the wise want counsel. They want direction, they want counsel. They want to know if they're doing something wrong. If you take, for example, you take, Havdil, but we'll give an example, take an athlete, a runner, a long distance runner, or a sprinter. Or you take some other type of athlete. He wants his trainer to let him know exactly what he's doing wrong in order that he can better himself. If he's going to close his ears to whatever his trainer will say, so some athlete he'll be. He wants to perfect himself. And the only way he can perfect himself is by having someone, a person, Ein Chovish Matir Es Atzmei, a person who's a prisoner cannot release himself. A person is very, very subjective. Cannot see himself in the right light. So he wants his trainer to be critical of him. Critical for a positive reason, but to be critical of him in order that he can correct whatever he's doing, in order that he can perfect himself. So this is how it should be also when it comes to perfection of life. The scoffer, he doesn't want criticism, he doesn't want rebuke, he doesn't want advice. So he closes his ear to it. But the Chochem wants it. He knows that he cannot see himself perfectly. And naturally, nobody likes to be criticized, and especially if it's all negative for negative purposes. But there's no mitzvah to criticize someone for negative purposes. We're speaking now for positive purposes. So a person, a Chochem, wants to perfect himself in this world. He's looking for additional perfection all of the time. This is his life. So he wants people to teach him, to direct him, to give him wise counsel. So this was Shlomo HaMelech's advice, King Solomon's advice. Hochach lechochem, rebuke chochem, he will love you for it. But don't waste words on the scoffer. Because besides the fact that he will hate you for it, you're disgracing the divrei Torah. So therefore, this is why the Chazal tell us, "Call me siyocholim chesvein amecha." Someone who can, who's in a position to direct, who's in a position to rebuke, es inche beisoy, the people of his household, and he doesn't, then he'll share the responsibility. But if he's not in a position to, then he, there's nothing he can do about it. So he will not be punished for what they do. And if for sure they will not listen, then there's no mitzvah to say. The Rambam tells us in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Teshuva. Halacha Aleph, Arba ve'esrim dvorim ma'akvin es ha'teshuva. There are 24 different types of acts which prevent a person from doing tshuva, prevent a person from repentance. And then the Rambam lists off different categories which include these 24 acts. In the first category, The Rambam mentions Arba mehen oven godel ve'is echad mehen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyode las yishuva lefi godel chetoy. The first four, the reason why these prevent shuva, each category has a different reason as to why it prevents one from doing repentance. We don't have time to go through all of these tonight, so we'll just take what's relevant to the topic. The first category, the reason why one is prevented from doing shuva is because Oven Godel, the Aveira is so great, the transgression is so great in the eyes of the Almighty, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyode lasish tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give the person the proper opportunity to do tshuva for it. Ve'elohein. And these are they. Hamachti asarabim. Someone who misleads the tzibur. Someone who misleads the nation, or he misleads the public to go and do averos, causing others to do averos is in the Torah considered about the prime, the cardinal transgression that a person can do. Because it's one thing that if a person misleads himself, but to mislead others, this is very, very serious. Actually, we mentioned this on Shabbos, that we find that by Mitzrayim, Egypt and Edom, they tried to destroy Israel physically. They wanted to kill them. And still we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that for three generations they shall not be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. For three generations they should not be allowed. But after three generations, they could. Then we have two other nations, Ammon and Moab. They tried to destroy Klal Yisrael spiritually. They hired Bilam. One of the reasons given in the Torah was because they hired Bilam, the non-Jewish prophet, and he went and he told them that the way you can destroy this nation is let them rebel against the Almighty's mitzvahs, and then they will be destroyed. So he said, he told the people of Midian, send in your daughters, and let them seduce the men of Israel, and through this bring them to idolatry. And then they will be destroyed. So this is what they did. So they tried to destroy Klal Yisrael spiritually. And by Ammon and Moab, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Lo Yovel La'ilam, Ador Asiri, never are they allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So there the sages say, we see that here someone tried to kill someone physically, and he was prevented from coming into Israel for only three generations. And someone tried to kill Israel spiritually, and they were prevented forever. So we see that if you mislead someone, if you direct him in the wrong path, this is worse than harming him physically. So therefore, amachti asarabim ubechlal oven ze amakev asarabim lasish mitzvah. Included in this is someone who prevents many people from doing a mitzvah. We must be very careful never to be in a position where we stop people from doing mitzvahs. A second havera, mates havera miderech tevel ro, kigain mesis omitiyach. Or if you come and you counsel an individual to go off the path, the right path. Another havera. Now here's what we are speaking about. Hareya b'nei yetze letarbis ro. If a person sees his son going the wrong way, ve'ena mamacha b'yodei, and he does not stop him, since his son is in his possession, he has influence over him, and had he stopped him, he would have listened to him. So now he's considered as he has caused him to transgress. And included in this Aveira is anyone who has the power to prevent someone from doing wrong, ben yochid ben rabim, whether it's an individual, whether it's many, and he didn't stop them, he let them go astray. This is included in these five. So the Rambam tells us, and this is something with very serious ramifications. The Rambam says that there are 24 Averus which a person will find it very, very difficult to do tshuva from. At the end of this, the Rambam says that every Avera a person can do tshuva from. And every Avera that he does tshuva, that he repents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept. But there are 24 that he'll find very, very difficult to do. And they're divided up into various categories, and the first category, which is the most serious, is because these Averas are so serious in Hashem's eyes that he will not grant the person an easy opportunity to do tshuva. What are these Averas? So all of these Averas have one theme, that he is misleading someone, either a rabbi, many people, or even an individual. He is misleading them from the path of Torah, preventing them from doing mitzvahs of the Torah, or he's misleading them. And this is considered the cardinal avera. To give counsel to a person, to give wrong influence to a person, where he goes away from the path of the Torah, this is a cardinal avera. Now, inclusive in this, the Rambam says, is someone who does not counsel his son. He sees his son going off the path, the right path, and he does not counsel him properly, and he does not direct him properly, he does not stop him. This is included in this. Because a father is supposed to have influence over a son, especially before he gets too old. And also included in this is someone who does not rebuke, or he does not stop on any other person from doing something wrong if he's in a position to do so. That this is what we're referring to. This is something which is very, very relevant in our times. Very relevant in our times. And the fact is, it's too relevant in our times. Because today we're living in a time when we have a tremendous generation gap. And no longer is there that solid unity in the home between one generation and the other. And many sons and daughters want to go completely on their own way, and they have their own ideas, or their ideas are molded by the fashions of the times. And many parents don't want to get involved, or they don't want to start a whole hassle. So they just remain silent. And many close their eyes to the reality of what's taking place. And unfortunately, today you have disaster areas in America, in Europe, and even in South Africa. South Africa is somewhat behind the times. But still, the serious situations are very, very serious in South Africa too. Well, it's become the fashion of the times where you can have on university campuses or university people, mixed dormitories. Or you have young people that move out of their homes and live in flats. And nobody knows what is going on there, and many times the parent does not want to know what's going on. You have all types of movements, of radical movements, and permissive movements, and immoral movements that are sweeping through young society, sweeping through the campuses. And this is something today which is common knowledge. And this is something today which is fact. This is hard, cold facts, even though many people of the past generation do not want to recognize it. And if they're in any doubt, let them speak to literally dozens upon dozens of psychologists that deal with cases. A of Jewish students. And all of this happens before our eyes, and the parents do nothing about it. Now many times they no longer are they in a position to do anything about it. But it's become a situation where a younger generation is in many cases run completely wild. The parents or the other generation just throws up their hands and let it take its own course. And before our eyes we see the ruination. But this is what the Chazal are telling us. Who needs first base of it? He will share in the responsibility. If he was in a position to do something, he'll share in that responsibility. Many times parents just don't want to put their foot down because they know all of the uphill that they're going to get. And it's too difficult to get involved. And everybody is doing it and everybody's moving out and so forth. But where there was a strong, in the last generations, where there was strong parental direction and parental control, this has become hefker. This has become a complete ownerless situation today. And this is what the Torah is telling us. We're calling yourself Arabim Zelazer. Everyone is responsible for the acts of the others. And how much more so his own children. Then the Rambam tells us another interesting halacha, in halacha Beis. And that is another group of Averis, which makes it very difficult for a person to do tshuva, is a group of Aperish Minat Sibur, where a person separates himself from the community, or Achelek al Divrei Chachomim, or he disagrees with the words of the Chachomim, or Mevazer Abesov, or he insults and shames his teachers, Vahaseine Asatei Chochesh, and he hates rebuke. That's the second category. What does that category have in common? Because a person only does tshuva, will only advance himself and only perfect himself if he loves rebuke, like we mentioned. See? If he loves rebuke, then he will advance himself, then he will perfect himself. And if he separates himself from the community, or if he separates himself from the wise, and if he insults his teachers, so then he will not have rebuke. Who will he receive this rebuke from? And if he will not have this rebuke, then he will not come to do tshuva. And here the Rambam writes something interesting. He says it's for this reason. Sha'atechecho geremes l'tshuva. Because rebuke brings tshuva. Shebizman shemeidin lei la'odem chatov. In a time when a person is made known of his chatov, of his shortcomings, umachlimin aysay, and even if he's rebuked very hardly, chayze b'tshuva, so then he will return with tshuva, like we see consistently from the prophets. All of the prophets went and they rebuked the people. V'chein lefichoch tzorech lahamid b'chol kohol v'kohol miYisrael chochem godol. Now the Rambam says here, therefore it's an obligation on every community, right, that there shall be a chochem godol, a very wise person, the zokein, an elder, the yorei shamayim, someone who fears heaven min ura from his youth, ohuv, someone who is beloved by the people, that he will be someone, his job will be to rebuke the people and to tell the people what they are doing wrong in order that they should return to tshuva. And someone who hates rebuke, so he's not going to come around, and he won't listen to what he says. So therefore, l'fichoch yamid b'chateisav, he will remain the same, he'll never advance, he'll never grow, he'll never correct himself. Now this that the Rambam says here, this is a reason, see, why every community must have a rov, right? And why it's always been traditional in Klal Yisrael, where every community had a rov. For two reasons. First of all, there was always the Rav, either in a shul or in the city, for Heira, to give direction in Issa Veheter, to give direction on what is wrong and what is not wrong. But here we see that there was another obligation, that every community must have someone who is wise, who is an elder, and who is beloved by the people, and who fears heaven. And his job should be to tell the people how to better themselves always. That this you're doing is good, you should do more of it. This you're doing is not good, you shouldn't do it. And so forth. Because only through this will they perfect themselves. I once had a discussion that this is another shortcoming of our times. That I was once together with a young man from Eretz Yisrael. And he was telling me that in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, well, he said the common shul doesn't have a rov. Most of the time, people come to daven, and they get together and they daven. Many times, the people are well educated, but there is no one rov in each place that they listen to. So I told him that you're obligated to have. He said, where? So I showed him this Rambam. So this was Shabbos. He says, after Shabbos, he's going to write it down and take it back to the council meeting when he goes back. But there are places, unfortunately, today, where people want to be free of this. They don't want direction. They don't realize, according to what the Rambam is saying here, and this that the Rambam is bringing is from the Rif, that this is from the 24 Dvorim, which is Me'akev Esachuvah, which prevents Chuvah. Because only if a person seeks constant direction, only if he seeks constant counsel and seeks positive criticism, then can he perfect himself, then can he advance himself. And if he puts himself in a position where he doesn't want it and he strays away from it, so then he'll remain the same or he'll go downward. This is also something very important, very relevant. In general, we see now that there's an obligation on a Jew. Not only is he responsible for his own acts, but he must be responsible for acts of other Jews also. And a Jew, cannot have the attitude that Shalom im Nafshi, that I'll take care of myself. That's not enough. He has to take care of himself. And he has to do what he can for others also. And this is the only way that perfection can come to Klal Yisrael. There was in the Tanakh it's brought that once a terrible tragedy took place where a man's pilegish, a man's concubine, was outside one night and she was left out. She couldn't find her way home. And some people from Binyamin, from the tribe of Binyamin came and they molested her and they violated her for the entire night, and in the morning she was found dead. When the other tribes heard of this, they were so outraged that they immediately called Binyamin. They called to the tribe of Binyamin and they said that you must find the criminals and extract justice immediately. And the tribe of Binyamin refused to do so. The others were so outraged with this act that they went to war against Binyamin. And many, many lives were lost. And then, again because of the outrage, because this left, now this brought Shfich HaSdomim, spilling of blood, they took a vow. And they said that we will not let our daughters marry any person from the tribe of Binyamin. All of the tribes of Israel did this. As time went on, they saw that there was a risk that Binyamin would not find wives. And eventually they would be lost. So they went, and they were a matar es haneder.
They went and they did away with the vow. And they permitted the tribes to intermarry. So the question is asked, so what changed their mind? Why did they change their mind? What were they thinking about to begin with, and what did they think about later? So the Malbim writes, they wanted to punish Binyamin, but they did not want under any circumstances that the tribe of Binyamin should be lost completely. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell only on Klal Yisrael in its entirety, he writes. If any tribe is lost from Klal Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not dwell amongst them. So their object was to punish them. But once they saw where it was coming to the danger that they might be annihilated, then they quickly did away with the vow. Because if any faction of Klal Yisrael is lost, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not dwell amongst them. This must be the philosophy of Klal Yisrael. We cannot have a philosophy that a person will take care of himself, and the rest of the Jews, this is not our worry. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelezeh. Every Jew is Anigleis Lono Levaneinu. What we know about, and this is our responsibility. And this is our responsibility, and this is our task. And if we do not do what we can, then we are also guilty of these same averes. For this reason, that it was the spirit of the great yeshivas in Europe in the last generation, Lithuania, where they would send out Talmidim to all places of Lithuania and to all places of Europe wherever they could. Some went even to Germany in order to establish yeshivas and establish Torah. Because the responsibility they had were not just for the Jews that were in that vicinity, for all over. This is something very important here in South Africa, because many people feel that, look, what happens in other parts of South Africa, what happens to other people, this is not my responsibility. My responsibility is myself and my family. If any person is in a position to do something, then he's obligated. And this particularly is a great responsibility to those who know something, to those who've had the opportunity to learn Torah, to those who already have had the opportunity to fulfill mitzvahs. Then it's even a greater responsibility. Fact is, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos that a Talmid Chacham, a regular person, every person, must be very careful with all of his conduct and the way he acts and so forth. But a Talmud Chacham, someone who represents Torah, he must be even more careful, because what he does is an influence on people. If the way he conducts himself, if the manner in which he dresses, if the manner in which he walks, if the manner in which he talks, in the manner in which he does business, is positive to people, then he will influence people to follow in the ways of the Torah. If it's, heaven forbid, negative, then he will drive people away from Torah. And this is in regards to what we're saying. Therefore, someone who's in a position already to do something more, then he carries even a greater responsibility. This is what we learn from this parsha of Har Grizim V'Har Evel, that it was at this time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bound all of Klal Yisrael together, where each one is responsible for the acts of the others. That's the open acts, Anigla Islon Elvanenu, things that we can do something about, things that we know about. But Anistores, which was secret, that Hashem said, that Almighty said, he'll be responsible for. So therefore, they pronounced the 11 broches and the 11 kloles in order to absolve themselves for the responsibility of the secret transactions, and that it should fall on the shoulders of the others. This is a very great principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelezeh, and it's a principle that everyone should constantly be cognizant of.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.yjj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.